Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Mark Browning coming to you today. Actually, Bible teacher Mark Browning. I apologize. I am not a pastor. I am a Bible teacher. And today we're coming to you from my kitchen. We went to Gilbert, Arizona over the President's Day weekend to see Anna, and we got a real estate deal going. So I went up there to take care of some business. And so we didn't have church on Sunday. So I'm here doing this through the internet and through the genius of James Taylor, my good friend and compadre. So, you know, we live in a weird time. I've been alive. I'm 63 years old, and this is the worst I've ever seen in our country. There's absolutely no doubt about it. It's the worst I've ever seen it. We got people out there telling our children that they need to change their sex. We got people out there telling us we don't need to have policemen and just all kinds of wacky stuff. We got a guy in charge that any clear thinking person can look at and tell is not mobile. He's not there. He's not physically or mentally there. You know, we're fighting a war in Ukraine, sending billions of dollars, and nobody really knows what's going to come of that. We're on the threat of World War III. But in the midst of all that, God's grace is abounding even more. If you follow the news, you'll see that there's a revival that started in Asbury, Kentucky. Now, that has a lot of significance for me because back in the 1970s, a revival started there in Asbury, Kentucky. And I think I got swept up in that in combination with the Catholic charismatic move. But stories were told back then, and these are true stories. There were stories told back then that people would actually drive into Asbury, Kentucky and get gas in their car, and the Spirit of God would come on them and convict them, and they would seek out people and ask find out where a church was so they could go worship God. And, you know, God told Andrew Womack sometime last year, and I got to be honest with you, I didn't believe him, but he told Andrew Womack we were in the next wave, the third wave of revival, and I couldn't believe it. But look at here, what's going on in Asbury, Kentucky. Another revival started there, and it's spreading all the way through all kinds of colleges. Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee, the home of the Church of God Pentecostal group, they're having revival. There's a revival in Birmingham, Alabama. They say there's one in Oklahoma, Oklahoma Baptist University. It's just true what the book of Romans says, where sin abounds, does grace that much more abound? And me and Teresa, we were, I'll just be honest with you. We were trying to get my daughter, Anna, who just graduated from Arizona State. We invited her to go to church with us up there in Gilbert. And Teresa found a church called Sun Valley
Community Christian Church.
This place has got five campuses. And I think their main campus is in Tempe, Arizona. But the one we went to was in Gilbert. And it was one of the most amazing things I've ever been involved in. They have four services, two on Saturday night, two on Sunday at five campuses. One guy does the preaching. It's quality preaching, and it's the message of grace. It's the grace message. It's the grace revolution. It's what we need so desperately, because religion will not get you into heaven. You can't get to heaven by your good works. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, everybody needs to have it committed to memory. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. By grace we have been saved through faith, not of works. You can't earn your way into heaven. Anyway, this place was amazing, and it had some of the most amazing praise and worship I've ever been around. The guy that was leading the music, it was a couple of gals, a couple of guys, you know, they had the guitars and the drums and all the stuff. But the guy that was leading the music, I think he sang the songs better than Elevation Worship sings them. And they sang a couple of Elevation Worship songs, and it was just an amazing experience. And it's amazing that they can run thousands of people through there. They promote on their website that that the service is 70 minutes. And I'm telling you, we started at 10:30. And they were done right on time at 11:38. They missed it by 2 minutes. So shame on them. But anyway, I got caught up in the grace message, and I thank God for it, because in 2012, I was out of ammunition. I'd been teaching people faith, and teaching people about the goodness of God, which you've got to always teach people about the goodness of God. And I'd been teaching people about faith, but I had gotten out of balance on faith. I had turned faith into a work. And so I was telling people you had to speak to the mountain, and you do all these things that I'm saying you have to do. You have to speak to the mountain. You have to believe with your heart and say with your mouth what you believe with your heart. And then you got to act on what you say, you know, and I'm doing that now. I'm living that out right now, right this minute. I'm living that out. There's days I don't want to do nothing, but I'm walking by faith and not by sight. But where we missed it, where I missed it, was faith wasn't something I was doing that was going to get God to do something for me. I want everybody to hear this now. You got to hear this. Faith is not something you do to get God to do something for you. These are some of the most important words I ever learned. Faith simply appropriates what God has already provided to us by grace. Grace is what saves us through faith. Faith and grace go together. Everywhere in the Bible, almost always, but several times, and I can show it to you, where the word faith is, the word grace follows. I've already quoted you Ephesians 2:8. I'll quote you Romans 5:2, wherein we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So anyway, I got acclimated with the grace message. Started out with a guy named Joseph Prince out of Singapore, but I had a hard time hearing him. And then one night I was listening to Andrew Womack on TV, and he was teaching on this, and I've been hooked into it ever since 2012. And I want to say this church that we went to, this Sun Valley Christian Community Church, they love Jesus. They're promoting Jesus. They teach Jesus. They teach grace. But I do believe that we're taking it just a little deeper. We're going a little deeper with it, in that we want people to know without hesitation. We want people to know without any hesitation, God's not doing bad things to people. Now, bad things happen to us, but it's not God doing it to us. We live in a fallen world. We're in our spirit. We've been made alive. In our spirit, we've been born again, but we still have our carnal nature, or we still have our carnality to deal with. Let me say it like that. And so we're going to make mistakes. We're going to get ourselves in trouble. Other people might get us in trouble. The devil's always seeking whom he may devour. So there's trouble, but God's not the cause of the trouble. And God doesn't put you into trouble so that something good will come out of it later. And now, listen, I just lost a lot of people by what I just said. I just lost a lot of people, and we've lost a lot of church members because of what I just said, because there's a lot of church members that just are absolutely hanging on to the fact that they're going through something bad so that something good will happen down the road. Now, listen, something good may very well happen down the road if you're trusting in God, because God's mercy endures forever. God is good. God is love. And so if something bad happens to you and then he works it out and makes something good happen, that's wonderful, because that's who God is. But God didn't put you in that bad spot. No, I'll never buy it. I won't buy into it. Jesus never told a single person that God did anything to them, but he did help them, and he did deliver them, and he did heal them, and he did save them. Can I get an amen? So we're going to take it a little deeper. And so what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to necessarily do this on church on Sunday, so we may be out of rotation, but when I'm not teaching at church, I'm going to keep talking to you about this little lesson sheet that I created called Faith Reminders. Faith Reminders. It's an upgrade on what I learned about faith, and it includes what everybody needs to know about grace. Well, not everything you need to know about grace. I don't know everything. I just thank God for what I do know. I'll tell you one thing that I'm really got convicted by going to this big mega church was just how wonderful and how skilled the minister was. He was very skilled. He didn't do any uhs and you know, he didn't do any hesitating. He could talk. He just talked right on, man. He just kept talking, and I bet he could keep talking. But he knew when to quit, so they'd be out of there at 11:38. Praise the Lord. And there were all kinds of people there, all kinds of types. Young people, little people, middle-aged people, middle-aged people, and older people. Every kind of group of people was there. So they're doing something right. So I apologize if I've talked bad about other churches. That's one of the things I'm going to repent of on Sunday. And we're going to go forward, but I do have a message that I think takes it a little deeper. And if you'll plug into it, you may be able to avoid some bad things. I know that I've gotten myself into some trouble because I opened some doors to some things. And it's only because I opened doors to things that caused the trouble to come. God doesn't want me to be in trouble. Listen, Teresa, turn your Bible to 3 John 1:2. 3 John 1:2. This is the third epistle of John 1:2. It says, beloved, I got Teresa here helping me, so I know I'm going to be fine today. Beloved, I pray, this is 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray, some translations even say, I desire. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. That's 3 John 1:2, folks, if you're following along. I know some of you listen on the way to church. Some of you listen on the way to the golf course. Some of you listen, hopefully, at home. And if you can, mark that verse. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Again, that's what God's will is for all of us. And of course, hardly anybody's walking in that, because a doctrine came along that told people that God wants to put you through bad things so he can make it good, make something good happen later. No. That's not God's best. It's not God's best to go through a bad thing. It's God's best to prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. So faith reminders, number one is God loves us and wants the best for us. We have to know that God wants our body healed, our mind restored, and our finances in order. Now listen to this sentence here. I wrote this. Just an old hick from Marion County, Lebanon, Kentucky. I wrote this because I read the Bible and God revealed it to me, and I'm so grateful that he did. Listen to this sentence. It'll change your life if you can believe it. By the way, if you want a copy of this Faith Reminders, I think James will put this on the internet and you can download it. You can download a copy of this Faith Reminders. But listen to this sentence. It is a lie of Christian religion that has assigned evil to God. I'm going to say that again. It is a lie of Christian religion that has assigned evil to God. Sick bodies, sick minds, and poverty are all forms of stealing, and God is not a thief. Teresa, John 10:10. John 10:10. God is not a thief. John 10:10. Listen to this very carefully. Here we go. The thief, that's not Jesus, that's not God, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's the devil. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come. Why did you come, Jesus? Why did you come? I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, don't take it and run off with it and teach all this fake prosperity nonsense that I have disassociated myself from. God wants you to live a prosperous life. He wants you to be prosperous. You will be prosperous if you operate his principles. But the purpose of Christianity is not for self-indulgence. Can I get an amen? Amen. So, sick bodies, sick minds, and poverty are all forms of stealing, and God is not a thief. Now, you got to believe that. If you're going to truly, really, and truly live by faith and walk out the faith walk by grace, you're not going to be able to do it unless you know God doesn't want you to have these things. God doesn't want you to have a migraine headache. God doesn't want you to have a sick mind. He doesn't want you to be depressed. He doesn't want me to be depressed. He don't want you to be broke and be in poverty. He wants you to be prosperous. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Can I get an amen? That's number one on the Faith Reminders that'll be available on the website if you want to download it. Number two on Faith Reminders. God's love is activated into our life by grace through faith. I already quoted these two verses to you. By grace are you saved through faith. And then Romans 5:2, wherein we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Listen to this. No one deserves the blessing of God. Trying to earn God's favor only leads to disappointment. Romans 3:23 says it like this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then Galatians 3:10. Let's further show you that you can't get to heaven by works. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Listen, folks, if you go back and read, I believe it's Leviticus, back over there in the law, and you read all the requirements that you're held to, there's not one living human being that met those requirements except, anybody got a clue who I'm going to say? Jesus. Except the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you got to get saved by grace through faith. You can't earn God's blessings. Trying to earn God's favor only leads to disappointment and burnout. That's why we've got a lot of burned out Christians, because they got over into religion. See, whenever you're trying to earn something from God, you're over into religion, and religion won't work for you. Religion will kill you. That's why they get burned out, because they've tried to cross every T and dot every I, and you can't cross every T and dot every I. You got to know that Jesus did. You got to accept and embrace that he did that for you, and then accepting and embracing that he did that for you will draw you towards good work. See, it'll draw you towards good works, because you don't want to disappoint your Savior who did so much for you, and you want to lead a life worthy of the calling. You want to lead a life worthy of the gospel, but you're not leading that life to get eternal life. It's because you have eternal life that you're leading a life that way. Does that make sense? Oh, it's so important. There's so many people that need to hear it. I had a guy tell me the other day, not too long ago, we were talking, and he said, I know God's not going to send me to hell. He said, I'm not as bad as Adolf Hitler. See, he misses the point. I don't believe he's as bad as Adolf Hitler either. Listen to me. I don't think he's as bad as Adolf Hitler either, but he still has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He still has not kept all the commandments. And if you're going to go to God based on the law, God has to declare you guilty. You got to go to God based on what Jesus did for us. He was buried for our offenses, and he was raised from the dead for our justification. A verse that I've been quoting a lot is 1 Corinthians 15:3, that says, it's real simple. I think we should quote it. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. See, Paul received this. See, he had to receive it just like I do. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins. And of course, you got to make it personal. That Christ died for my sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's what you got to believe. That's the gospel. I got to believe that. I got to believe that Jesus died for my sins. And we've all got sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody see that? Our faith, I already said this, but our faith does not move God. Our faith appropriates what God has already provided by grace. I'm going to read some verses on this because that's important. And that's a sentence you need to write down if you've never heard it before. Our faith appropriates what God has already provided by grace. Ephesians 1:3. Watch this. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, everybody say, who has?
Who has.
That's past tense. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, somebody said, well, see, now that's heavenly places. That's when we get to heaven. That's when we die and go to heaven. We'll get all this stuff. No, if you keep reading the book of Ephesians, you'll find out in chapter 2 that we've been raised up with Jesus. and been made to sit with Jesus in the heavenly places. We just got to get the things in the heavenly places into the natural world. See, all the things in heavenly places have been provided to us. All the blessings have been provided to us, and we need to appropriate all those blessings into our natural world. Faith and love and peace and joy and health and contentment, all those kind of wonderful things. Not all that junk the devil's peddling out there in the world. The devil's, all he ever peddles is junk, counterfeit stuff that destroys. Remember, the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Let's give you another verse on that. 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3. As his divine power has given. There's that word has again. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How do you get it? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. See, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we appropriate that into our lives by faith through grace. Understanding that God did all this for us by grace. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. You can't earn your way into heaven. You have to believe your way into heaven. You receive your way into heaven. John 1:12, I quote this probably more than any verse I ever quote over the radio. As many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to them that believe on his name, as many as received him. Everybody got that? All right, number three, God has given every born-again believer the measure of faith. It's Romans 12:3. I like it best in the New King James Version. I mean, in the Old King James, but I'll read the New King James and change one word. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, he wrote this to the book of Romans, to the Roman church. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one. Old King James says, as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. It's just like if you're in a soup line and they have a ladle that's one size, and you go down that soup line to get some soup, and they put the same amount of soup in each person's bowl because that's the size of the ladle. That's what has happened to every born-again person. We've been given the measure of faith. Now listen. Every born-again believer has the faith of Christ, Galatians 2:20. Again, the new King James Version changes one word, and I like the old King James Version in this again, and that's why I think that's one of the reasons why Andrew Womack stays with the old King James, even though I don't recommend it for reading because it's Elizabethan English, and nobody does all those thous and thuses and furthermoreses and all that stuff anymore. But it says this in wherever we were going, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Oh, she's got the old New King. Oh, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth. There's that word liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of, I have the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, at the new birth, when you're born again through the word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, at the new birth, God puts on the inside of you the actual faith of the Son of God. Now, the devil has deceived us into thinking our faith is not big enough. The truth is we have mountain-moving size faith, and we simply have to use it. I'm going to finish reading this. I don't think I'm going to get past these three points today because I don't want to give you too much to think on. But I want you to hear this. See, the truth is we have mountain moving size faith, and we simply have to use it. Did I read the sentence? The devil has deceived us into thinking our faith's not big enough. And it's amazing. I'm gonna finish the thought here. Point number three. We got 3 points on our faith reminders. Point number three: faith is measured not by how much we have, but by how much we use. Well, that's so important. See, and let me say something. One of our parishioners, and it's amazing that we didn't see this because Jesus told it to us twice in the gospel. He told it to us twice in the gospels, Matthew 17:20. And it's amazing that I, you know, that's why you need teachers, people to point things out to you, because I read past this all the time, but he told us twice in two gospels, Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, they were wondering wanting to know why they couldn't cast the devil out of a guy. And Jesus told them, verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. See, one of our parishioners or one of our members brought us a mustard seed to church and showed it to us, and we put it on the thing, and it's not as big as the tip of your finger. It's smaller than the tip of your finger. That's how small a mustard seed is. So I don't understand why we missed it. He was telling us it's not the size of your faith that's the problem. It's the fact that you're not using what I've given you. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
See, that's one. Now, then he told him, then watch what he told him in Luke 17:5-6. You can't make it any plainer. Luke 17:5-6. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. How many of us, if we're honest, have said that to the Lord? Lord, give me more faith. I need more faith. I need more faith. I'm telling you right now, I've had those thoughts. I've had those thoughts in some battles I've been in. Lord, increase my faith. And see, now look what his answer is. And it's amazing. We just read right over it. We'll just read right over things. Because see, we get acclimated to somebody telling us something, and then we don't look it up for ourselves. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. How big is a mustard seed? Tiny, tiny, tiny little seed. And it grows into a big tree. Notice that. You know that about a mustard seed tree? You grow mustard tree, tree mustard, ketchup, mustard, and pickles and onions. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, again, it's not the size of your faith. It's just using it and believing that you have faith, believing that you have faith. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. I want everybody to hear this now. All you believers out there, you need to hear this. If you're born again, you have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simply a matter of releasing that faith towards your problem, towards your mountain. And might as well quote it, Mark 11:23. You might as well quote it. You got to release your faith towards the mountain, Mark 11:23. Mark 11:22-23. Let's read 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Everybody say that. Have faith in God. You can do it, and I can do it. I have it. I have the measure of faith. I have been given the measure of faith at the new birth. That's when I got it. I got the measure of faith. I have faith. Say that with me if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus. Say it. Say, I have faith. I have a measure of faith. I have the measure of faith. Say it like that. I have the measure of faith. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. Notice that it hadn't happened yet, but he believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. He will have. How much faith do you have in God? See, mustard seed size. The size of a mustard seed will cause a mulberry tree to be uprooted. What did Matthew say would come up? What happen in 17:20? Luke said a mulberry tree would be uprooted and planted. What did Matthew call it in 17:20? What did he say would happen with mustard seed size faith? Oh, he called it a mountain. Matthew said, with mustard seed size faith, you can move a mountain. Matthew said, with mustard seed size faith, you can move a mountain. And then Luke said, with mustard seed size faith, you can cause a mulberry tree to be uprooted, planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, listen, I said I wasn't going to go into number four, but I've seen my time's going to allow me to do it. I want to talk about this, but I'm going to review these points one, two, and three one more time, because it's so important. Point number one, you got to realize that God loves you and God wants the best for you. That's the easiest way to sum up number one. God loves me and God wants the best for me. Number two, you have to understand that God is doing these things for you because of his grace, not because you deserve it. It's because he loves everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But God, Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. So number two, you got to realize that he's doing these things by grace. And then number three, you have to know that God has imparted to you, if you're in Christ, he's imparted to you the faith of the Son of God. He's given everybody the measure of faith. And Jesus said that mustard seed sized faith will move mountains and will cause mulberry trees to be uprooted and cast into the sea. So if it'll do that to a mountain, if it'll do that to a mulberry tree, will it remove cancer from our bodies?
Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Will it remove migraines from our head?
Amen.
Will it cause depression to leave us?
Amen.
Will it cause anxiety to leave us? Will it cause confusion to leave us? Did God give us a spirit of fear? No, he gave us a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. Those three things are faith reminders, and those three things are fact for Christians. Somebody said, now listen, I've tuned you in. I've heard you talk about this, and it's making some sense. But why doesn't it hardly work for anybody? Because let's be honest, it don't hardly work for anybody. Let me say something to you. How many of you know something about percentages? Percentages is something you got to pay attention to when you're in school. I didn't realize it when I was in school. But does anybody know what 1% means? 1% means 1 out of 100 people. Am I right, James? 1% means 1 out of 100 people. I'm going to tell you, and I don't say this because of any arrogance on my part, because those days have ended for me. But I'm going to tell you that less than 1% of the Christian population understands these first three things we've talked about. I'm telling you. And part of the reason is, and this is why I didn't want to get too deep in number four, because we got to spend so much time on it the next time we meet like this. Part of the reason is that the devil brought a doctrine in called the sovereignty of God, an abuse of the concept of the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. Nobody's going to ever overthrow him. Nobody's going to ever overtake him. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But God is not causing everything that happens in the world to happen. He doesn't want that war to go on in Ukraine. He doesn't have anything to do with that. He didn't want that train to derail in Ohio and those people had to breathe that nasty air. He didn't want the guy that got elected president to be our president. That's not who he wants. He wants somebody up there that's for worthy causes and for good things. Are you listening to me? God didn't do that. We did that. We did that. We did that. That train derailed because some, what's it called, engineer, caboose leader, messed up, and the train derailed and spilled those things out in the air. That war in Ukraine got started because we got a bunch of people that don't have a clue about how the world works, and we got incompetent people in leadership in our government at every level. At every level, the guy that's in charge of transportation, he knows nothing, and we did that. So that war in Ukraine wasn't the will of God. What else did I mention? The train derailment in Ohio. Right? See, and people want to blame that on God. See, and that's the problem. That's why this stuff is not working, because you can't appropriate your faith towards something God didn't do. And you can't think that it's comforting to know that God is doing this to me, and so I'm not going to do anything about it. God's not making you sick. God's not making you broke. God's not making you depressed. God's not making you anxious. Let me say that to Mark Browning. God's not doing that to me. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But you see, I'm telling you, listen, I've lost the reason why we haven't been able to fill our church up. A couple of reasons. Number one, we can't ever get anybody to lead praise and worship. And if we do, we always butt heads. Number two, this is the biggest reason, is people hear this and they hear me say this and they don't want to deal with it. They want to think that somehow or another God's involved in my tragedy, that God's involved in my tragedy. And I'm telling you, God's not involved in tragedy. Jesus didn't come to bring tragedy. He came to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. And I know that, that I should do more outside of just teaching this on the radio and talking to people more about it. And I'm going to start doing that. But I'm telling you, it's tight, but it's right. Amen. And that's why people can't grab a hold of these things, because they don't understand that God loves them. They don't understand that God's not doing these things for them because they deserve it. And they don't understand that they have mustard seed size faith that'll do the job. Mustard seed size faith. And by the way, you got more than mustard seed size faith. You have the faith of Jesus Christ. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So just briefly, I'm just going to touch on it. I'm just going to get you enthused about tuning in. Now, I'm not going to be in order on these, James, because we don't know where we'll pick this up. But the reason why we're not seeing the promises of God manifested is because of unbelief. Unbelief. We don't have a faith problem. We have an unbelief problem. We have to cure our unbelief if we're going to see mountain moving faith operate in our life. I'll go back to Matthew 17:20, because Jesus told them, remember, they couldn't cast the devil out of that boy that was demon possessed. He was foaming at the mouth and acting all crazy. And his daddy wanted to see him delivered, and the apostles couldn't do anything about it. Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and he cast the devil out of the guy. He still threw a fit, and Jesus didn't pay any attention to it. See, Jesus ignored the natural. And that's the problem that we're having in the church, is we don't ignore the natural. We're paying attention to the natural. We're walking by sight and not by faith. And the Bible says to walk by faith and not by sight. You got to walk by what the Word of God says. So they asked Jesus, they said, how come we couldn't cast this guy, the devil, out of this boy? So Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, because of your unbelief. If we're going to see power happen in the church, we have to get rid of unbelief in our lives. And the way to do that is we have to start focusing our attention on the Word of God, on prayer, and on fellowshipping with like-minded believers. The Word of God, prayer, positive prayer, faith prayer, and fellowshipping with like-minded believers. So, one of the things that I've done, and I admit it, and I'm going to confess my sins to everybody on Sunday, is I have allowed myself to be way more attached to the world than I am to God. And if you're going to be focused more on the world than you are to God, then unbelief's going to conquer your faith. Unbelief's going to conquer your faith. I'm going to give you one more story. Go over to Mark 6, and we'll close here, and we'll start dealing with unbelief the next time we have this lesson. Mark 6, I'm going to read a little story. Jesus has been working the supernatural, doing mighty works. And in Mark 6:1, it says, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Remember, so he goes to his hometown. They all know he's Jesus of Nazareth. They know his mother's Mary. They know his daddy was Joseph. Most people think Joseph passed away. And then he had a bunch of brothers and sisters, because Mary had sexual relations with Joseph after Jesus was born. And he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Now, notice, see, they're seeing Jesus in the natural. And that's what all of us are making the mistake of doing, is we're looking at the natural. We're looking at the news. We're listening to the radio. We're listening to the TV. We're listening to doubt peddling relatives or doubt peddling preachers. And you got to focus on Jesus. See, they didn't see who Jesus was. They thought he was just a natural person. They said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Now look at this. But Jesus said to them, this is Mark chapter 6, verse 4. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Verse 5, do yourself a favor. When you get done listening to this, remember Mark 6, 5, and go look this up for yourself, because you'll know I'm not making this up. Now he could do no mighty work there. Didn't say he didn't want to. It was his will to do something great, but it says, now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. What was the cause? What was the reason? And he marveled because of their unbelief. Less unbelief and mustard seed-sized faith would cause the supernatural to happen in our lives. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Now notice, this is what's so beautiful about God. He didn't go home, take his ball and glove and go home. He didn't quit. He didn't say, I'm going back to heaven. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Notice what it says. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. What am I doing? Why am I on the radio? Why am I here today on the radio? Not asking you to give a nickel. Not asking you to do anything except listen to the message. Why am I doing it? Because you need to be taught the truth of God's word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You need more faith and less unbelief. And when I say more faith, you just need to use the faith you have. And when you use the faith you have, it will counter the unbelief. As long as you can get past the unbelief in the surroundings and focus on God and his word. And you'll do that through prayer, fellowship, and the word of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, if you've been listening by radio or internet and you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, real simple way to do it. God's made it really, really simple for us. Now, you got to do it from your heart. You got to really want to do it. First of all, you need to understand that we're all sinners. You're a sinner. I don't care if you go to church every Sunday. I don't care if you put thousands of dollars in the offering basket. I don't care if you take communion every Sunday. I don't care if you've been baptized in water. We're all sinners. So you got to recognize that. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. So you got to acknowledge your need for a Savior. See, only sinners need saving. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but the sinners. I didn't come to call the righteous. By the way, there wouldn't have been any righteous to call. The people that were there that thought he was right, that thought they were righteous, are the ones that killed him. Don't shout me down now. Amen. So you got to recognize that you need a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. So say this. Say, dear God, I'm going to do what the word said.
I'm going to do what the word said.
And I'm going to receive Jesus.
And I'm going to receive Jesus.
I believe that he is the Son of God.
That he is the Son of God.
I believe that he died for my sins.
That he died for my sins.
According to the scriptures.
According to the scriptures.
And then on the third day.
And then on the third day.
He rose again.
He rose again.
From the dead.
From the dead.
According to the scriptures.
According to the scriptures.
And I am now. Because I believe that.
Because I believe that.
And acknowledge that.
And acknowledge that.
A child of God.
A child of God.
By faith.
By faith.
I call myself. A child of God.
A child of God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer, let us know something. Listen, we got ways to communicate with us. LifeInChristChurch.net. LifeInChristChurch.net. Write that down. LifeInChristChurch.net. Go on the website. All our lessons are there. This faith reminder sheet, James is going to download it. We couldn't do this without James, and we're going to make this a regular thing when we're not at church. Until the next time we do it this way, we'll talk to you later. This is Bible teacher Mark Browning.